Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Jacqueline Callahan is here from the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York, with this week's book pick lists. And, well, Jacqueline, nice to have you here. Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, and I'm always glad to be here.
You have a it's an interesting list of light and dark fare, so let's get right to it.
All right. You know, this winter I feel like first it was Christmas, then there was Valentine's Day, and then it's spring. And that brings me to a really wonderful book that you could read to your youngest, two-year-old girl. And it's written by Julie Fogliano with illustrations by Aaron Stead. And it is such a beautiful picture book. It is one of those great children's books that's the kind of perfect combination of words and pictures. It's a very quiet book, a few words about on each page about spring slowly revealing itself. And it's just, it's one of my favorite picture books for the new season. Mm. We have our window in our store built around it. And all I can say is that parents who have toddlers, you should run out and get And Then It's Spring, because it's a wonderful book to read to your kids.
And then,
when I was in college, there was a book that you would talk about with friends, and if it was sort of like a bellwether, like if they liked the book, then you can kind of continue on the conversation. If they didn't like the book, you'd say, okay, and sort of leave them. And that book was Confederacy of Dunces by John Kennedy Toole. Mm. And there is a new literary biography that just came out called Butterfly in the Typewriter, The Tragic Life of John Kennedy Toole and the Remarkable Story of a Confederacy of Dunces. And it's by Corey McLaughlin. And for those listeners that don't know anything about Confederacy of Dunces, I just want to tell you a little bit about it first. It is really one of the great novels about New Orleans, and it introduced a fantastic character named Ignatius Riley, who's a 30-year-old medievalist who lives at home with his mother in New Orleans. And this is what Walker Percy actually said about Ignatius Riley. He's a slob extraordinaire, a mad Oliver Hardy, a fat Don Quixote, a perverse Thomas Aquinas rolled into one, who is in violent revolt against the entire modern age, lying in his flannel nightshirt in a back bedroom on Constantinople Street, New Orleans, who between gigantic seizures of flatulence and irritations is filling dozens of Big Chief tablets with invective. And one of the remarkable things about this book is the story of how it got published. John Kennedy Toole wrote this book in the early 1960s and spent about 2 years going back and forth with one of the editors at Simon & Schuster trying to get it published. And ultimately, it wasn't published during his lifetime. He committed suicide in 1969 at the age of 32. And his mother discovered the book in a shoebox. And she relentlessly shopped the book around to different major publishing houses all over the country and got rejection after rejection after rejection. And finally, she cornered Walker Percy after a lecture. And a gentleman that he is, or was, Walter Percy, took the book home, got his wife to read it, and she loved it, and he loved it, and he championed the book, and it was finally published. And it was finally published in 1980, 11 years after John Kennedy Toole's suicide, and it became an instant sensation, won the Pulitzer Prize that year. Anyway, so this biography is really John Kennedy Toole's story, the real story of some of the characters in New Orleans that inspired the Ignatius Riley character, and then just the story of John Kennedy Toole's life. I mean, there was a lot of mental illness in his family, and he suffered from it, and ultimately he died from it. And it's just a great, great book, especially if you love Confederacy of Dunces, and it will get you to read that book again, I think.
In your reading this biography, what parallels can you draw between Ignatius Riley and John Kennedy Toole? I mean, how much is based on himself?
Well, I think that there's elements. There's a lot of elements in the book that are like his life. I mean, for instance, he lived with his parents and with his mother.
Right.
You know, a lot of his adult life. And his mother was overbearing, to say the least, just like the mother in the book. So there are parallels. Ignatius Riley is not so much based on John Kennedy Toole as it is based on another New Orleans character, but you're going to have to read the book to find out.
Fair enough. And if you haven't read A Confederacy of Dunces, by all means do. It is a classic.
It is so good. So my next book, you know, on Friday I was listening to you guys talk about Mad Men and have all those fabulous interviews anticipating Mad Men. And it got me thinking about Milton Glaser, and he actually has a little monograph of an art book that just came out, and it's called In Search of the Miraculous or One Thing Leads to Another. And it is it's a book about the artistic process, and basically he reveals a little bit of how some of his earlier work and the things that inspired him at one point were repeated and repeated through different projects that he did that ultimately ended up being ad campaigns or posters or things like that. And it's a book that it's a little difficult to explain because it's a very visual book, but it's a wonderful book. So he talks about how he became friends with a guy who taught Kundalini yoga, and his name was Rudy. And Rudy wrote a book called Spiritual Cannibalism that was very, very popular in the 60s. And Milton Glaser designed the book cover for it, which I'm showing Ray right there. And then he goes on to trace how there are elements of that book cover that were echoed in his designs for the sign outside an art museum, and then for the International Buddhist Film Festival. And it's very, very cool. So he has... most of the book is devoted to this creative process about how one thing leads to another. But then he also has a little chapter called The Client Didn't Get It. and he has a couple campaigns that were rejected by clients. And the one that I really loved a lot was a typographic ad that he did for Coney Island. And this is how it reads. And of course, you can't see the visual, but it's black with white typeface. And it goes, only Coney, Coney only, Coney, the one and only. For Coney Island. And then another version of that was Coney Island, spelled K-O-K-N-E-A-I-S-L-E, and the ampersand sign. And so then he goes through three different versions of Coney Island, spelling it a different way. So it's really, really pretty brilliant. And I think that if anyone is interested in Milton Glaser and his process, you could really enjoy this book in a lot of different ways.
One of the things they always I wrote commercials for several years back a long time ago. And one of the things they always told me, you know, if it's, you think it's funny and it doesn't sell, it ain't funny. That was what we always went by.
Okay. So the next two books that I wanted to talk about, you know, if you don't have your coffee in the morning, you could grab either of these books and your hair would be standing on end in 5 minutes.
Okay.
And one is a thriller and the other is a musical biography, and truly the musical biography could be the soundtrack to the thriller.
Okay.
So first what I'd like to talk about is the musical biography, and this book came out in January. It's called Satan is Real, The Ballad of the Leuven Brothers. And the Leuven Brothers were from a place called Sand Mountain, Alabama. They were a gospel and... harmony duo that ultimately inspired people like the Everly Brothers and the Byrds. And they had, and this book is written by Charlie Leuven, really probably narrated by Charlie Leuven with another author called Benjamin Whitmer. And it just tells the story of their growing up in a, you know, in poverty, in violence on a cotton farm in Alabama. Their father was really rough on them and beat them up and down. Their mother taught them all the, you know, many of the songs that they knew, and really fostered their love for music, as did the Sacred Harp tradition of the Baptist church in their town. And they realized, really, Ira, the older brother, realized that music was their ticket out of this life. And they started singing together. Now, Charlie narrates this book, and there's 47 chapters.
Wow.
They're each about 3 pages long. And because he was probably, you know, talking and the writer was capturing this on tape, like, it just, the words jump off the page. And it's amazing, and it's so much fun to read. And it's honest, and it is profane. The language is so blue, you need to sort of put your seatbelt on. but he takes you on this tour through, you know, what it was like to be on the radio and Roadhouse circuit in the 1940s and 1950s, and the Leuven brothers cross paths with everyone, Hank Williams, Johnny Cash, and Elvis. And one sweet little vignette in the book is where Charlie Leuven talks about how Ira, I have to tell you, was he suffered the worst of their father's beatings, and he was an alcoholic, and he was violent, and he you know, was very violent with each of his wives, mm-hmm. and ultimately he died at the hands of a drunken driver. He was not drunk himself. But anyway, he was prone to say all kinds of crazy things. And once he said something not so nice to Elvis.
Okay.
And so what Charlie says here is, and this is Charlie talking, if I had to guess, I'd say that one statement by Ira cost the Louvin Brothers music catalog $2 or $3 million. And I don't believe Elvis took offense either. It was a stupid thing to say, but everybody knew how Ira was. I figure somebody had to have told Colonel Parker about it. Elvis Presley didn't hold a grudge. He was a good boy, but Parker sure as hell did. And he controlled everything Elvis did and didn't record. Anyway, so the book is filled with that kind of honesty. And also, another thing about this book, it is so amazing looking. It's about the size of a Hardy Boys book.
Yep.
And it is emblazoned with actually a real cover of one of their albums where they made a 16-foot plywood Satan, painted it red, and piled up a lot of tires, set them on fire, and posed in front of it. And so Satan Is Real is the name of one of their songs, one of their albums. And a lot of their songs are very fire and brimstone. You know, with titles like The Kneeling Drunkard's Plea and so forth.
Well, I'm afraid, Jacqueline, we are out of time.
Oh, no.
And you know what? We could go on forever.
Yes.
You can find out more. Our WAMC.org book picks are listed. Jacqueline Callahan is with The Golden Notebook, 29 Tinker Street in Woodstock, New York. The website is goldennotebook.com. Well, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.